From marketing campaigns to product launches and more, plan, organize, and execute your team's work with Asana. Asana, how teams manage work. Try it free. Visit asana.com to get started.
This is your tech news briefing for Friday, February 14th. I'm Kateri Yoakum from the newsroom of The Wall Street Journal. Among Washington lobbyists, one company has emerged as a major player, even influencing the outcome of the multi-billion-dollar cloud computing contract between Microsoft and the Pentagon. It wasn't Amazon. It wasn't Microsoft. It was Oracle. Reporter James Grimaldi will tell us all about it and Oracle's influence on the Hill after these headlines. Federal prosecutors have charged Huawei and two of its U.S. subsidiaries with racketeering and conspiracy to steal trade secrets. The charges were revealed in an indictment unsealed on Thursday in Brooklyn. Prosecutors said the company was able to steal intellectual property relating to robotics, cellular antenna technology, and internet router source code. Six U.S. tech companies are among those affected. These charges are the second round of allegations from the U.S. government. The first was unveiled in January of last year. Tesla revealed on Thursday that it's facing fresh regulatory scrutiny from the Federal Trade Commission. The agency issued a subpoena in early December, the electric car company said, asking for information on financial data and contracts. This announcement came right after Tesla announced it's looking to raise more than $2 billion in a stock sale to help bolster its balance sheet. Stock sale in itself was a big reversal. Last month, CEO Elon Musk dismissed the idea when facing questions from analysts saying it didn't make sense to raise cash while Tesla was in the midst of a rally in share price. And the Chinese e-commerce company Alibaba said the coronavirus could impact its growth. Since the virus has essentially put China on lockdown, employees are staying home from work and packages are going undelivered. The company was already under pressure to perform since founder Jack Ma stepped away last year. In its earnings report on Thursday, Alibaba said it had been outpacing expectations set for the company before the outbreak began in late January, but executives say they expect to take a hit in the short run. They're optimistic, though, that Alibaba could benefit in the future. The lockdowns are encouraging consumers to shift their purchases online. Among tech lobbyists in Washington, one company stands out. Reporter James Grimaldi will tell us about Oracle. That's after the break.
What if you could spend less time juggling email, meetings, and status updates, and more time doing the work that matters most to your team? Whether you're planning your next marketing campaign or launching new products, Asana reduces the busy work that wastes time. And we give teams clarity so they understand their plans and goals and how they'll achieve them together. Visit Asana.com to try for free.
It used to be that lobbying in Washington pitted big businesses up against some consumer groups. But lately, some of the biggest fights have been going on between companies. And one company has emerged as a really heavy hitter, punching far above its weight. Oracle, the corporate database company. Here to explain what Oracle is doing in Washington is senior writer James Grimaldi. James, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for inviting me.
All right. So just a reminder, what does Oracle do? And what kind of policies have they been advocating for as a company?
Well, they're a multinational computer technology company based in Northern California, just north of Silicon Valley. And they sell database software and technology, enterprise software, and it brands its own database management systems. But these days, they're up against big technology companies that are more consumer-facing, like Google, Amazon, and Facebook. And in particular, they've been trying to move into the cloud computing business. But they've also been involved in getting the government to pursue Google. They've been very aggressive, both in the United States and abroad, to try to bring up antitrust investigations, particularly involving ad tech.
So you profiled one lobbyist who's been really influential for Oracle. His name is Kenneth Gluck. Can you tell me a little bit about who he is and what he's done?
Yeah, Ken Gluck is kind of a longtime Washington insider that most people have never heard of. He's kind of, you know, fancies himself as the anti-lobbyist who wears jeans and tennis shoes and really doesn't spend a lot of time with technology trade groups or wining and dining politicians, and really prides himself in being able to tell a powerful story. But he's also not afraid to kind of flood the zone with everything that you might typically do in Washington, and has been associated over the years with a couple of embarrassing episodes that may be more typical to what people think about involving Washington and, you know, maybe dirty tricks and funny business. I first encountered him back during the Microsoft antitrust trial, and he came to the fore when it was exposed by the Wall Street Journal that he had been involved in employing private investigators working on behalf of Oracle, but not authorized by Oracle, that had dug through the trash of Microsoft in order to look for some evidence of Microsoft's working behind the scenes to try to influence Washington. And they, through that investigation, but not necessarily through the dumpster diving, they did uncover some evidence that Microsoft was funding so-called independent groups that were not really independent, that were taking positions favorable to Microsoft in the antitrust case, and were also being paid first-class tickets and essentially stipends in order to take those positions.
Let's talk a little bit about this multi-billion dollar cloud computing contract that went to Microsoft. We've talked about that contract on our show a number of times, obviously, when we were looking at earnings and seeing how Microsoft is really, it's cloud computing business has really been driving its earnings, even though it's still kind of playing second fiddle to Amazon. So everyone thought that this deal was going to go to Amazon. And it sounds like your reporting shows that Ken Gluck had a large part in contributing to that maybe not happening. What have you found?
Yeah, so he began investigating. I mean, he says when he first looked at the request for proposals, he felt that it had Amazon's logo on it. It was so teed up for Amazon. So he began investigating, and he found what he believed to be conflicts of interest in the revolving door of Washington with one or two employees, and one in particular who had been at Amazon and then at the Pentagon and involved in helping develop the bidding process. He reveals other connections that he believed to be between former Secretary Jim Mattis and Amazon. And he exposed those. He took those to Congress. He took those to the Inspector General. He probably was responsible for, at least in part, if not completely, for getting the Inspector General, independent watchdog at the Pentagon, to begin an investigation and to raise concerns. He was able to get segments on Fox News, which, of course, is the president's favorite network. And then eventually you found the president, who does not think favorably about Jeff Bezos and constantly tweets and criticizes him and his newspaper, The Washington Post. The president then tweeted against this bid going to Amazon. And so Amazon was really on its back heels because Oracle had thrown all this mud at the at its proposal, and the big surprise was that it went to Microsoft. So Amazon went to court and has sued to try to raise questions about the way that it was done, including alleging political interference by President Trump. On Thursday, a federal judge granted a motion by Amazon to put a halt on the contract going forward. So this is a big setback for Microsoft as well as Oracle, and you could almost call it the Amazon empire striking back.
To the Jedi deal.
That's right. They're absolutely striking back in the Jedi deal.
So I think the big question that people would have is, we're talking about Microsoft and Amazon. Was Oracle ever in the mix for this? Why would they even get involved?
Oracle, along with IBM, were two of the four initial bidders, despite the fact that they were removed from that first wave, they continued this campaign to try to stop Amazon from getting the contract. It's clear they were afraid, and in fact, I think even said that they didn't want Amazon to get it because they felt that it would just further solidify their dominance in cloud computing by getting this massive Pentagon contract over 10 years. It would simply make them grow so much bigger, almost with sort of a government subsidy, that it would make them an unfair competitor against those companies that are trying to challenge Amazon's dominance in cloud computing.
We've seen tech companies recently call out for regulation, which seemed like a big surprise to everyone. This feels kind of like it's tied into that. This regulate us, and by us, I mean them.
That's right. I think if you consider antitrust and monopoly enforcement as a form of regulation, and many economists and others do, they in a sense are doing that. Oracle would say, well, there are antitrust laws on the books, and if you're exploiting your dominance or if it's deemed to be monopoly power in order to stifle your rivals, and if that is harmful to consumers, then there is a role for government to play in reining that in. Of course, if they do that sort of reining in, that could be a benefit to them. So what you do see is when you have antitrust enforcement, when it needs to be happening, it often can accrue to the benefit of other companies in the sector.
Be careful what you wish for. Senior writer James Grimaldi, thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And that was your Tech News Briefing. Don't forget that if you like this podcast, you can rate and review us in your app store. And we have more Wall Street Journal podcasts. You can hear all about them if you follow us on Twitter at WSJ Podcasts. Tech News Briefing is produced by Amanda Llewellyn. I'm your host, Kateri Yoakum. One more note before we go. Monday is President's Day, so we won't be on the air, but we'll be back in your feed on Tuesday. Till then, from all of us at The Wall Street Journal, thanks for listening.